National Treasury has announced temporary changes to living annuity withdrawal limits and revision rules to ease the pressure on annuitants in the wake of COVID-19. So should you take advantage of these changes? Well, tune into SAFM's Market Update with myself, Duduzile Ramela. Tonight between 6 and 7, Earl Van Zyl, Head of Product Development at Allan Gray, will discuss the benefits and drawbacks. Brought to you by Allan Gray, long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
All the day's business stories, weekdays from 6 p.m.
Right, so businesses all over the world have been hit hard by the COVID-19 pandemic. And here at home, legal battles are brewing as the tourism and hospitality industries cry foul over COVID-19 claims. They allege they have not been paid out business interruption insurance claims. The Ombudsman for Short-Term Insurance and the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, among others, are facing an increasing number of complaints. We explore this now with Ryan Woolley, CEO of Insurance Claims Africa. Ryan, thank you very much for joining us. Good evening to you.
Hello, Dudu. Nice to be on the show.
So you're representing more than 400 claimants against several insurance groups. What is at the heart of the matter?
So at the heart of the matter is most of the major insurers in South Africa have tailored their business interruption product for the hospitality and tourism industry. And they've tailored this to provide a contingent business interruption cover, an extension to the policy for a notifiable disease. Mm-hmm. And the insurers are now turning around and saying, COVID-19, yes, it's a notifiable disease, but your loss is not being caused by COVID-19. It's being caused by the government's actions and their restrictions and their quarantine measures and the lockdown. And that's at the heart of the issue. The insurers are trying to renege on these policies and rip away the client's funding to pay for their salaries, their wages, their rent, and if they're lucky enough, net profit. Hmm. And that's the heart of the issue.
Are insurance companies then being mischievous here? Is COVID-19 not a notifiable disease?
It's absolutely a notifiable disease. COVID-19, you know, notifiable diseases are those which require, though it has to be notified to the government because they are highly infectious or contagious. And COVID-19 is a coronavirus which is a notifiable disease per SA law. And if you're insuring a notifiable disease, you would think that there would be some restrictions placed by the government of access to areas, that there would be some quarantine measures put in place. You know, the fact that the insurers did not anticipate the pandemic, they had every ability to exclude it, but the fact that they gave the cover to these insurers meant that they were willing to cover this, and they're now trying to walk back on that agreement.
In your discussions with the insurers, what would you say the temperature is? Could you possibly see yourselves going to the courts with the 400 claimants that you are representing?
Ultimately, if we have to, we will definitely be willing to go to court and pursue urgent applications and declaratory orders. But we are hopeful that a sensible compromise can be achieved. We know that the insurers probably can't afford to pay all these claims. And if a ruling goes against them, you know, that could very well see the end of their business. However, at the same time, the insureds can't be held accountable for their poor drafting of contracts. Mm. So their poor underwriting can't be prejudicing the insured. We would rather see a compromise sought, and we hope that that would have the support of the Financial Services Conduct Authority in South Africa. And we hope that the insurers take a sensible approach to these claims. And, you know, to compromise, you know, is a situation where, you know, yes, it's not to lose. You know, it'll allow everybody to survive.
Mm. Let's talk about the repercussions of all of this, especially on your claimants. What have some of them told you in terms of what it is that they're going through and, of course, extending to people that actually even work in some of these places?
You know, the tourism sector employs, I think the stats are about 1.5 million in direct and indirect jobs. You know, when you look at that and you look at all of our clients have had to cut back, and that the hardest hit are definitely their employees. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you can't afford to run your businesses, these businesses potentially will cease to exist. And, you know, you think that that this is a product that they've paid premium for that they now don't get to access, which will help them to survive. It's just, it's unconscionable.
Mm-hmm. I'd like us to go into perhaps just looking at some of the sectors that have been impacted. We talk about tourism and hospitality as if it's just one thing, but please just talk us through the various sectors.
So, I mean, sectors within the hospitality and tourism, you've got your restaurants, your B&Bs, your lodges, your hotel groups, all privately run or you know, part of groups. But, you know, the hardest hit are definitely, you know, those that are in the restaurants and B&Bs. And, you know, with the employees in all this area, the other thing to remember is that it's a mass employer of the youth. So, you know, these are all things that, you know, when you think about solidarity, you think about all the things that at this time the President Ramaphosa has put forward that we need to be thinking about. To see an insurer turn their backs on the tourism sector, to not even consider a compromise would hopefully not be the case.
What does this mean for the future? I mean, if these negotiations and the insurers are saying that, well, we don't think we can actually cover this, what does this mean for the future legally, specifically? What is it that we need to perhaps look into in terms of our laws and our policies?
Well, you know, the Financial Services Conduct Authority has that place. They are the regulator of the regulator industry. They, you know, verify the drafting of these policies and the conduct of the insurers. So I would think that, you know, they would step up once they've done the investigation. They are taking a very proactive approach in this, which we think is positive going forward. The problem is that it doesn't solve the problem for our claimants in their current state. You know, what happens if these businesses don't survive? You know, the one issue that we've got is that the insurers have got ultimate funds available to them to defend this and to litigate for many, many years. Our insurers can't afford that. You know, they will go out of business. They won't be able to afford litigation. You know, and with that, it means that their claims will fall away. And we hope that that's not a tactic that the insurers are pursuing, but it is a reality that there will be this attrition of these claims. And that also, you know, we have to stand up together against the insurers and get them to at least consider a compromise.
At least consider a compromise. That's where we leave it. Thank you very much, Ryan Woolley, CEO of Insurance Claims Africa. And just for your benefit to our viewers, my colleague Suren Naidu has done an amazing job in writing up an article on this. It might pique your interest. You can read it up on our website. That's www.moneyweb.co.za.